Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball, your home of discussion and analysis of Major League Baseball. This podcast will instantly awe you in the use knowledge of MLB. Hear the latest MLB stats, standings, and news here. James Morris, who is filled with fun knowledge of MLB, is your host and has many guests come on the podcast weekly. Please enjoy this one-of-a-kind podcast. Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I'm your host, James Morris. With me today is Mr. Nick. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, thank you for coming on. First, I want to talk about, in my opinion, one of the most interesting teams in baseball. I think it's the Cubs, for one. I think their roster is pretty solid, but lately they have not been playing well. They have, you know, a rookie of the year candidate. They have a lot of solid players, but they've lost 10 in a row. And, I mean, their stats... I mean, they only have 25 wins. So, I guess what I'm saying, they're predicted to be a decent team this year. Do you think they can get better, and why do you think the Cubs are not playing very well?
Yeah, I think, you know, I do a little sports betting, too, and I bet the over on them just because I've been a longtime fan. And as I've been watching the games, I just realized what a mistake it was. I feel like Jed Hoyer, our GM, is in a tough spot. They've made it so, I think the Ricketts family who bought the Cubs have kind of told them, you know, we're in this sort of half rebuilding mode. And they kind of fooled fans by signing Marcus Stroman before the year started. But they're just not ready to spend, I think, for another year or two. So right now it's just play as many kids as you can, see, you know, throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
For sure, yeah. I think one of people's favorite players for your Cubs is Christopher Morel, the rookie. A lot of people think he can be really good, but I guess what I'm saying, Christopher Morel obviously is a solid player. He can play pretty much every single position in baseball. Do you think he could be the next Cubs' Javier Baez?
Yeah, I think Morel is a likable guy because he plays with a lot of passion, sort of like Baez did, where... he had a lot of energy when he went out. People loved to watch him. And I think Morel in that way, you know, will be a fan favorite. But he definitely doesn't have the fanfare that Baez did when he came up. He was more of a... I actually think if Morel had come up through, like, the Dodgers system or something, he wouldn't even be seeing the field now. He just kind of was a middling minor leaguer who we brought up because he was, you know, having a good run. And he's... So far, it looked good, so I hope that it sticks and he doesn't hit one of these, you know, sophomore slumps next year.
Mm-hmm. Possible Rookie of the Year candidate. He's batting .264 with 5 home runs. So obviously that's not great, but his glove is really helping you guys, and I think the Cubs are very grateful to have that. And first of all, I guess tell us a little bit about your background on the Cubs. I know you're a Cubs fan, but you know you're a big MLB fan as well, but... how did you become a Cubs fan, and what made you learn? What made you want to know about the Cubs so much?
Well, I was born, you know, in Chicago, and Chicago is an interesting place to be a baseball fan because we have two teams in the city, and so if you're born on the north side of the city, you're a Cubs fan; south side, a Sox fan. But over the years, it's just what was your family a fan of? So. Growing up, my family was Cubs fans, and you know, I grew up watching Andre Dawson and Ryan Sandberg, Mark Grace, those players from a long time ago, and it just I just love baseball so much. It's sort of in my blood, and I lived and died until 2016 was, you know, I remember that year. We'll always remember that year, so we finally got it, and so I've just always been a Cubs fan.
Yeah, that's very cool. So the Cubs have a lot of veteran-based players. You know, you got, well, I guess mostly just Wilson Contreras, possible all-star this year. But I don't know, is Wilson Contreras having a good year? I mean, he does have 12 home runs and he's batting .283, but I feel like you guys could maybe even trade him to get a better catcher.
Yeah, right now I think he's arguably, you know, the best catcher in baseball stats-wise. There's just not a lot of production in Major League Baseball coming from the catcher spot right now. So I'm really torn on what to do with him because he plays hard, I love Wilson Contreras, but in the mode we're in now, if we can get a big haul for him, I feel like you almost have to. You know, if someone's willing to give you a lot, then you take it. But I have some friends who are saying, well, why can't he be the next, you know, Yadi Molina, where we can sign him and keep him with the team for longer. But I just don't know if that's going to be him forever. And if you're rebuilding, there's no reason to keep one star around.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you guys will trade him though?
It's a tough call. I've gone back and forth, and right now I feel like it's 50-50. So I think it comes down to what other teams are willing to offer for him. So if they can get a big package, then I think they'll get rid of him.
Yeah. And I mean, Wilson Contreras could be a very good trade candidate, but along with other teams, getting rid of your, you know, the player who's been around for you forever can be hard, and really the fans don't like that much, you know?
Right.
But we'll take a quick look at his stats. He's batting .283, 12 home runs. I believe he's won a couple Gold Gloves along the way, 27 RBIs. And he did say he wants this year to be his comeback year. He doesn't like, because I mean, 2021, he only batted .237 with 21 home runs, and he already has 12. So I think it's safe to say he is having a comeback year so far. But he's probably the best catcher in the National League. Ty Stevenson for the Cincinnati Reds is up there as well. But yeah, he's a very solid player. But I don't think, do the Cubs have a good minor league catcher? Or what do you think they'll do with that if they do trade him?
We had a guy named Miguel Amaya who was coming up through the system, and he had a pretty big injury. I forget what it was, but it took him out for the year, and I haven't heard much about him since. So we signed Yan Gomes this year.
Oh, yeah.
With thinking that when we signed Gomes, I felt like, well, they're going to trade Contreras because Gomes is at least a, you know, well-traveled, decent catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they haven't decided. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jed Hoyer hasn't even made up his mind yet, and he's just seeing, well, someone come wow me with a trade package, and if you can, then, you know, you can have him.
For sure, yeah. So Contreras, solid catcher. I think the Cubs are lucky to have him, but also would be lucky to trade him, probably. But another, I think this guy's an interesting player, Frank Schwindel. He's been in the season since 2019, but he's bounced back from different teams for a long time. In 2019, he only batted 0.067, so obviously not great. And then 2021, he was the A's, got released, and then went to the Cubs and started playing phenomenal. Batted .342. Yes, only had played 56 games, but anytime you bat that high, you're amazing. And now in the Cubs, he's kind of this average hitter, but they're still hanging on to him. And yes, he's hurt right now, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on Frank Schwindel? I think a lot of people that aren't Cubs fans are puzzled for why they're hanging on to Frank Schwindel, and they don't even know really who he is.
Yeah, for Schwindel, I like Schwindel because he looks like your accountant, and he doesn't bring a lot to the team because he plays first base, which he doesn't have a great glove, and he's a righty, so he almost seems like more of a DH if he could hit because he doesn't have a great glove, but he's really just a placeholder right now until we can get a more solid team out there. So I feel like as much as I love the guy, and you have to root for these older players who have been bounced around, you know, the minors for so long, and they finally get a shot, and I think he's one of those guys, and he's easy to root for, that I don't think there's any team in the majors who would give really much of anything for Schwindel, unfortunately. So hey, if he can stick around as long as he possibly can, I'll give the guy credit for that.
For sure. And now I just talk about the Cubs. Here's some off script stuff, but I just wanted to. There's a couple of these Cubs players that I don't really know too much about. Patrick Wisdom. I know he's struck out a ton, and I know it's only about his second year in MLB. But is he even good? I think he's. I haven't not heard much about him, and
Yeah, Wisdom came up through the Cardinals system, actually, and got a little playing time with them, I think. But he has a ton of power. He came up last year, and we were calling him Babe Wisdom because he hit a bunch of homers in a really short period of time. And then I bet my buddy before this year started, I said, Wisdom will be, he'll be back in AAA by June. But he, it surprised us a little. He's still hitting with some power. But yeah, he strikes out a lot. Surprisingly for a really big guy though, he plays a very solid third base. And also to note is that my wife, who barely watches baseball at all, constantly asks where Wisdom is because she saw him once. So he's a good looking guy. I'm sure he gets credit for that too.
The last question about this Cubs team is Kyle Hendricks. A lot of people love him. A lot of people like what he has to offer for a team. But I mean, he's I don't know. I don't even know if he's that consistent. He had a 4.5 ERA last year. He had like, I think he had like, he had a lot of wins last year as well. And he's been in the league for a long time. When you see Kyle Hendricks starting, are you like, okay, they really do have a chance? Or what are your thoughts on Kyle Hendricks?
I'd asked about Kyle. Kyle Hendricks is my favorite Cub of my lifetime. I think he's very underrated, or at least was in his prime. There was like a 10-year span or a 5 or 6 year span maybe where he was like second in that 5 years in ERA, but was barely talked about. He's such like a Greg Maddux like pitcher where he is not going to overwhelm you with you know, his stuff. He just hits his spots and he's a very smart pitcher. He beat the Dodgers in game five that got us to the World Series. He was winning in game seven in the World Series before Madden pulled him. He just has pitched a lot of very big games, and I know he's a fraction of the pitcher he once was, but I just love the guy so much. So I'm excited to watch him pitch anytime, and I hope he stays just because I like to see him, but I do think his best years are behind him now.
Yeah. Okay. And that's interesting because I was confused on that. But
obviously, you have as a Reds fan, you're a Reds fan, you said, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is there some guy like that on the Reds that you like who's just, is it, I mean, Votto is the only guy I could think who's been around so long, but is there just some guy that you love and maybe not every other that you know isn't great, but you like him anyway?
Well, Luis Castillo, he's definitely gonna get traded this year. He's been in the league for 7 years, maybe six. And he either has his one phenomenal year with the 2 ERA or the next year with the 4.5 ERA, you know? So you never really know what you're going to get from him. And then I'm a big fan of Hunter Green. So he's, and when I mean huge on, I mean no hitter pitcher. And then when he's off, like 6 runs in an inning. So he's either really good or really bad.
Okay.
But since we're talking about Rookie of the Years there, how about we talk about Rookie of the Year candidates in the MLB? There's a whole lot of them, so I guess we'll start with the National League. So in the National League, we got a decent amount of players. Shohei Suzuki for the Cubs. We actually probably should have talked about him a little bit more. Shohei Suzuki, a big... And am I saying that name wrong?
Seiya Suzuki. Seiya. I think you had it pretty much right.
All right, Seiya Suzuki. For the National League, for the Cubs, he's now fielded very solid. And you got Mackenzie Gore for the Padres. And you got Hunter Green for the Reds. There's a lot more, but those are the guys who are probably going to win if the MLB, you know, ended in a couple of weeks. So those three players are solid. Out of those three players, okay, just talk about Shohei Suzuki, the outfielder for the Cubs. What do you think about him, and do you think he has a chance at Rookie of the Year?
Oh, you know, if you'd asked me in May 1st, I just said he had a heck of a shot, but he came in really hot, you know, like so many rookies do, and then the mm-hmm. league figures them out.
Yeah.
And so he took a dip, and I think he started to figure it out a little more again, but he had a finger injury, so he's been out for a while now. I think they signed him knowing that we weren't going to compete this year, so I'm hoping he can at least get back and have this year be, you know, get the at-bats under his belt, learn how the game differs from the Japanese game. But yeah, I don't think he's going to be getting many votes by the time the end of the year comes. Do you think Green will be in high consideration?
I think he'll make top five. I don't think he'll be in high consideration just because, I mean, his ERA is 5.33,
But he has pitched a no-hitter, and he has had, you know, a complete game, no runs. You know, he's a solid pitcher, but not quite. Suzuki stats, batting .245 average, 4 home runs and 21 ribbies. So it's not great, but, you know, it's not bad. So he has a shot at winning Rookie of the Year, but number one in votes, MLB voted anyway for last week, was Mackenzie Gore for the Padres. I guess tell us what you know about that Padres pitcher.
Yeah, Gore, I think, is definitely the front runner now. Mm-hmm. And his ERA, I know, is up a little bit because he got shelled recently. But it was, I think, around 2 for a while. And these young pitchers are always hard to tell, you know, because sometimes I'll notice this, you know, watching the NL Centrals, that, and especially in the NL Central, because the Cubs, the Reds, the Pirates, the Brewers, off many years, we're always bringing up young pitchers because we're, you know, out of the race halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these young pitchers will come up and throw 6 great innings for the first 4 games, and they'll look great. And then, you know, people start to figure them out, or that, you know, they're throwing first pitch strikes all the time, so we get a swing, and then they'll turn into nothing. So it's tough to tell, but I think Gore could be the real thing. He does pitch in San Diego, which is pretty pitcher friendly, so that may be helping. But he looks to me like a good pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, you said it all out exactly. But I mean, as of May 4th, he had a 1.71 ERA. His last 2 starts, he has given up 15 runs in 6 1/3 innings. So his ERA is now up to 3.64. But other than those two, those last 2 starts, I mean, 15 runs in 6 innings is not good at all. But other than that, he has been phenomenal. 1.71 ERA since May 4th, or besides May 4th, going down from the season. And he's not been playing well lately, but hopefully he can get that figured around. And I mean, you said it. He has a really, really good shot winning Rookie of the Year if he keeps that consistency up. Now, Hunter Green, one of my favorite player for the Reds. There's probably going to be another front runner in the Rookie of the Year, but we'll probably talk about someone else that maybe comes in our mind a little bit later. But in my opinion, I think Hunter Green deserves to at least be top 5 mix, just because the Reds pitched no-hitter, and yes, they lost, but Green was in that. He pitched phenomenal. He just walked 6 batters, but he pitched no-hitter. He also threw 8 innings of 1-hit ball, no walks, no runs, and that 1 hit was a bunt single. So almost a perfect game, and he won Player of the Week, but his first starts phenomenal. His last couple starts were really good, but he does have a 5.26 ERA. So obviously, around there somewhere, he gets rocked around a ton. Actually, against the Brewers a long time ago, he went 2 2/3, gave up 8 runs. Against the Brewers here earlier, he pitched 5 innings, gave up 4 runs. But against the Diamondbacks, he threw 7 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 8 strikeouts. And Blue Jays pitch phenomenal. But tell us what you think about Hunter Green and if he has a shot winning Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think it's clearly, you know, he reminds me a little bit of like when Corbin Burns came up and he struggled his first couple years, but it was very clearly he was a good power pitcher. He had a lot of good stuff. And so, I think it just takes these guys time, you know, I think that's why you don't see a lot of pitchers win Rookie of the Year. Is because it's just tough for them to come up and adjust to what's like pitch against major league hitters. So I think he's got certainly a bright future. I think anytime you're talking Rookie of the Year candidates, some of these pitchers just are behind the 8 bucks. I think it could be a tougher adjustment for them than it can be for hitters.
Yeah, for sure. And if he you know, obviously we know he's a fastball pitcher. He can easy 101 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. He just needs to work on his changeup and off-speed pitches, and he can be solid. Now we can go AL Rookie of the Year. I thought we could talk about Julio Rodriguez for the Mariners first. Tell us what you think about Julio. He's a front runner right now for American League Rookie of the Year.
I think he's, you know, a lot of he's got all tools, and I think he's actually shown a little bit of power, you know, more than maybe they thought he was going to have. But he sort of is a very typical, to me, Rookie of the Year candidate, where he's got sort of a middling average and a lot of potential. But I think where he is going to be hurt from up against Pena, who we were also going to talk about, I know, plays for the Astros, is that the Mariners just aren't as good a team. They just don't get the national coverage. And sometimes those things, the, you know, the media coverage and things like that, unfortunately work into some of this voting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Mariners, he's been, you know, solid. The powers, though, he said, 8 home runs. He's batting .265. Solid outfielder. I believe he's an outfielder. Yeah, center fielder. Really good. And Julio Rodriguez, top prospect. He also has most stolen bases in MLB and has 29 ribbies. But solid prospect. He's been a big prospect his entire life. And he's been pretty solid so far. And I think if he's not going to win it, yeah, you're right. He's probably going to be really close. The next player, Jeremy Pena for the Astros. He took Carlos Correa's spot really, really well. Tell us what you think about that guy.
You know, I think Pena has a couple benefits in that he is surrounded by all-stars. You know, like, Houston has a great lineup, and so he's a guy that they're going to pitch to. And I also, you know, I was reading about him a little earlier. It looks like his OPS has dropped a fair amount since from May to June. So he may be one that they're figuring out a little bit too. But I think to be in a lineup like that and with a team like that, got to be good for his confidence. So I think he will probably finish the year strong.
Mm-hmm. So check his stats here, like I always like to do. He is batting .277. His glove has been really good. He's playing shortstop. He's hurt right now. But he has 9 home runs. And he took Carlos Correa's spot very well. The Astros could not re-sign Carlos Correa. And I think you're right. One of the main reasons he's been sought, I think, is because he's surrounded by so much all-stars. He can get so much good support and so much good, like, advice along the way. You got Altuve. You got Gurriel. You know, you got all those solid players too. Tell him what to do when you're not playing well. Even Bregman's a third baseman. I believe he even came out of the league as a shortstop. So, Jeremy Pena, if he has any questions, he can ask anyone with really, really good advice. Now, the number one pick in all of baseball, I believe it was 2018, Adley Rutschman. People are saying he's a Rookie of the Year candidate. So far, his stats don't show that, but he is playing well, I guess. He's a solid player, but he's only batting .205.
Yeah, I know he was highly touted. I'm trying to think of the old Orioles catcher who came before him, who was also the number one and had been there for a while. I can't think of his name, but but the Orioles. I remember it being like a questionable pick between him and somebody else. And I think if you're a catcher, you know, you can make your early stay seem a little bit better when you get to the majors because, you know, if you're playing good defense, if you're calling a good game, and the Orioles, I know, are playing a little bit above what people thought they would. So, you know, maybe he's calling a good game right now. And he's making himself useful in ways that aren't just with his bat.
For sure, yeah. And I think he's probably a very good catcher that calls pitches well. I have Spencer Torkelson running in here, but I don't think he can make it. Do you think he has a shot, I guess?
No, I think he's pretty significantly underperformed.
Yeah.
But I do like your other note here of Bobby Witt because he is one of my favorite. I actually see a fair amount. I see Witt play a fair amount because, you know, like around here, we also get all the White Sox games. And so they're playing the Rose quite a bit. And if Bobby Witt Jr. is a guy who, if I'm passing by the television, I'll stop and watch because he's just like a young, fun player. You know, to me, the most interesting team in the majors to watch is the Blue Jays. Because I just love the kids that they have. They're just so fun to watch. And Bobby Witt, like, has that same kind of spirit to him. So I really think he's going to end up being a good player.
Yeah, for sure. And he has almost identical stats with Julio Rodriguez, the lead runner, Rookie of the Year. He's batting .241, 8 home runs, but he probably has a better glove than Julio Rodriguez. So, I forgot about him there. He has a really good shot. Maybe even, he could even win it by a lot if he keeps this up, because his glove has been phenomenal. He's had 3-hit games. He's played really well. So of all those guys we've talked about, let me just tell you, I don't think anyone could really decide efficiently, but you got Sahei Suzuki, Julio Rodriguez, Jeremy Pena, Bobby Witt Jr., Mackenzie Gore, Adley Rutschman, Hunter Green. Who do you think would win for the NL Rookie of the Year if your vote counted for like all the votes?
If I was a betting man, which I am, I would take Gore in the NL, and in the AL, I would probably take Rodriguez if I hit.
Rodriguez, mm-hmm. I would have to go with probably the same. I would go with Gore and Witt Jr. just because I want to go with Suzuki, but he's hurt, and I think, you know.
Yeah.
So those are solid picks. I think that's what a lot of people are going for right now. But now we'll get into some MLB news. Some pretty crazy stuff happened over the past week or so. Miles Michaelis, the Cardinals starting pitcher, right-hander, he's been in the league for a while but has been hurt a lot, was one strike away from throwing a no-hitter against those Pittsburgh Pirates. It would be the second time the Pirates have been no-hit. And Michaelis struck out 5 along that way. He walked 1. He retired 17 batters in a row prior to a line drive double with one strike away. Miles Michaelis was one strike away with 2 outs, bottom of the 9th inning, or I believe it was bottom of the 9th inning, to throw a no-hitter. Harrison Bader did not get a very good jump, but a lot of people are saying, you know, he's the best outfielder in baseball, so if he couldn't catch it, no one else could catch it. But Michaelis threw 8 2/3 of no-hit ball with one out left, gave up a double. I'm just in shock talking about this right now. But tell me your thoughts or whatever you think about what just happened.
I was really torn watching this because the Cubs and Cardinals are a huge rivalry, right? And so it's in my blood to just hate the Cardinals. And so part of me doesn't want to see them throw a no-hitter. But I'm a human being, so watching Michaelis get so close, it's tough, you know, like it's tough to even see his reaction or his face after that, because it's just got to be soul crushing. And it wasn't on, to be fair, it was a well struck ball. It wasn't on, you know, if you see a no hitter get broken up on a C&I single that squeezes through the infield, it's one thing. But this is a well struck ball. And I don't know, I feel like maybe Bader in that situation, maybe he's playing in because he doesn't want a single to drop in front, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to try to take away a single that you might normally let drop, and he wasn't expecting the ball to be driven. But, it was a tough feeling for me. As a Cardinals fan, who do you guys consider sort of your biggest rival? Or as a Reds fan, who do you consider the biggest rival?
Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals are rivals of a lot of people. They're not a huge rival. I don't like the Dodgers, so I call them a rival. But I think the Cardinals are our biggest rival for the Reds, just because they've been around the Reds area for a long time.
They've been winning our division for the last 2 decades.
So. Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, I get angry just talking about it. Well, Miles Michaelis, 2.62 ERA. He's been pitching phenomenal lately, and he's 5-4, wins and losses, and nothing really bad to say about that pitcher. His changeup's solid. He can throw hard-ish, so he's decent. And very similar news that happened this week. Tyler Anderson, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, was for the Los Angeles Dodgers, was 2 outs away from pitching a no-hitter and gave up a triple to the MVP of last year, Shohei Ohtani. Tyler Anderson is 8-0 with a 2.82 ERA and had a no-hitter under his belt but got stripped away.
Yeah, that one seemed a little less tough because that hit was it was an out last close, you know, wasn't the last strike.
Mm-hmm.
And also Ohtani's hit was just a very clear, you know, there was no, did someone get a bad jump? I actually liked, I can't think of who was playing right field at the time, but they gave it like the old Major League Baseball dive where he was 10 feet away from the ball, but just had to dive because it was
mm-hmm.
trying to keep a no hitter.
Oh, Mookie Betts.
Intact. Oh, was it Betts?
Yeah.
So credit to Betts for that. But it was a little less of, to me, a little less heartbreaking. If that hadn't already happened to Michaelis earlier in the week, I think it would have seemed worse.
Yeah, for sure. But two big news that has happened. I mean, those are, you know, it's crazy. Miles Michaelis, obviously, one strike when pitching a no-hitter. He would have been forever remembered for the Cardinals' history. And now, for all you know, he could be traded next year and forgotten forever by the Cardinals. You know, it's really funny how much a no-hitter can give so much praise into MLB, you know?
Yeah. Do you remember the Tigers guy who, I can't think of his name either, but he had the no-hitter, but he was called safe on the last out of the game by the umpire when it was very clearly out.
I do remember that, just barely. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Like, was in tears, like later on, saying that he messed up the call. You know. But,
wow. So tell us a story for those people who don't know it.
So I gotta find the picture of why we're doing this, but I feel like it was maybe Sanchez. Oh, Armando Galarraga, that was it. He 8 2/3, ground ball to second base, and whoever it was that hit it was hustling down to first. Second baseman throws it over and has him by half a step. And I think the whole stadium knows that, but the umpire who's out in the field calls him safe. And everyone's just in shock. And this was before, I don't know, it's supposed to have been at least a couple years before instant replay was instituted. And after the game, you know, he got the next out. And after the game, the umpire went back and looked at it. And then they interviewed him, and he was in near tears saying, I took that no hitter away from that kid and he'll never get it back, and the umpire felt bad. And then there was a moment the next day when the Galarraga walked the lineup out to the umpire and they like shook hands or hugged or something to show that he kind of forgave him. And it's weird because Galarraga, I wouldn't have remembered Galarraga through a no hitter, but I remember this. So it's interesting how like this weird thing might make it remembered more, but I remember thinking this poor kid had this taken away, and you know, if it would have been a couple years later with the instant replay, would have had it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's crazy. I'm just scrolling on MLB app. I just want to see if there's any bigger news we could talk about before we go into standing and stat leaders. Max Scherzer should be back soon, and I guess O'Neill Cruz, the biggest pick spirit, or the best number one prospect for the Pirates, I think he just got called up today, so he should be back. I don't know, anything else you want to talk about before we can talk about something else?
Yeah, I saw Cruz was coming up, and that the other kid that they had, the lefty, just hit three homers the other day for the Pirates.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Jack Suwinski, yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I always kind of get a little nervous when that's in our division, because, you know, it's nice to watch these players, but, you know, it's nice to watch them beat somebody else. So.
For sure.
But am I wrong that next year they're cutting down the number of interdivision games from like 19 to 14 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I don't know the number, but they are. And I also, they're banning the shift next year. So I think I like the shift just personally. A lot of people disagree with me, but what do you think about the shift?
I used to be 100% don't ban it. I just felt like it was up to the hitters to figure out how to beat it. You know, like,
yep.
So they'll even have to field up to learn to hit the opposite way. I've gone back a little bit on it. If they want to do it, you know, then I think I'll adjust fine, but I'm still like mostly, you know, 90% against them banning it.
Yeah, I pretty much totally agree with you. I think I like the shift just because, yeah, the hitters, they need to. That's the whole part of the game is hitting them where they ain't. You know, it's like how the saying goes. And then, you know, sometimes I just feel like it'd be more fast paced. Like when the Reds are batting, I'm like, oh, bam, the shift, because that would have been a base hit. You know, like, so kind of things like that. I guess here's another little topic. Mike Trout just got back from, I think, one or two years of zero baseball. And they're calling it the Mike Trout series. 5 home runs in 5 days. And he has been amazing. 20 home runs already. It's the second most in MLB. What are your thoughts? Just quick thoughts on Mike Trout.
Mike Trout, to me, is... I just hope when his career ends, we're not talking about all the times we didn't get to see Mike Trout play in the playoffs. You know, he's just like... he's a very tragic story to me. He probably doesn't care, but... you know, playing with a team that just hasn't had a pitching staff in years. But I feel like, you know, if he was playing in New York or something, he would be, you know, like LeBron James. He'd be the most popular player. He's the best player in baseball by far. I just want to see this guy play on a big stage in big games. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. Yeah, I think if he's not popular now, he'd be a lot more popular with, you know, like the Yankees or the Dodgers or something like that. And, I mean, if the Angels would make the playoffs, which, you know, at the start of the season they were likely to and now they aren't, I think the Angels have so much hype into there because they actually made the playoffs that they could be a danger that they are 33-36. And that's not terrible. Let's see, I'm looking at wild card right now. That will make yourself 4.5 games out of the wild card spot, so
yeah,
not quite
there. And they got Ohtani too, and it's like, you know, that what an exciting team to have Trout and Ohtani on the same team.
Yeah,
you know, arguably maybe the two best, you know, the two best most exciting players in baseball on a given day. Yeah. So it's unfortunate. I honestly wish that the games were on earlier or that I could see more of them because they're fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I think so now, standing leaders and stat leaders. We do this on every podcast. Not only to refresh the people who are listening to this, but also refresh my mind. So we do average home runs and RBIs, and like, we can do stolen bases if you want. And then we do pitching, ERA, wins, strikeouts, and saves. And then fielding, we do errors. And then standings, we talk about the players who are first place in each and every... And the National League, American League, we talk about who's first place. But let's get into statistics first. We'll talk about average, batting average. Luis Arraez for the Minnesota Twins. I have him on my fantasy team. He's been playing really well. Last year, he didn't get much playing time. He showed that he was a good player, but didn't get that much playing time. He's batting .361 right now and really showing the Twins that he can play.
I saw him on a stat recently where through 300 games, there was only like 4 hitters who had as high as average as him in Major League history. And they were like Wade Boggs and, you know, Gwynn, like a couple of really good, like historically great hitters. So it's exciting to see, to be talking about a young player and not just someone who has prestigious power, but that can get on base.
For sure. And so to get this out, number 3, Xander Bogaerts. Number 4, Jaden Martinez. Number 5, Rafael Devers. All of them are Red Sox players, so they go the hitting down. But now for home runs. Aaron Judge with 25 home runs, and we're not even halfway through this season. He's playing phenomenal, isn't he?
Yeah, they mentioned he was on pace maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago to beat the old Maris record, you know, which a lot of people still consider the home run record. And you can see why. He's another one that's fun to watch because he's just built like a washing machine. You know, he's like just a gigantic dude. And like, yeah, no kidding. When this guy strikes the ball that it's going to go out, he's like, you know, would put some of these old players to shame just with, he looks like a bodybuilder.
Oh yeah, how much home runs was he on pace to hit? Do you know?
I think it was like 63 or something like that, you know.
Wow.
And I don't know if that each day, maybe he hasn't hit one for a few days and it went below that.
Yeah.
But he was definitely to beat the old 61 by like two or three.
That's amazing. Aaron Judge, you know, Rookie of the Year, I believe. You know, all those stuff. And 2021, he wasn't even that good. He might have hit 20 home runs, you know. And now it's like he turned a huge corner.
Yeah.
RBIs, Pete Alonso, but J-Ram right behind him. But Pete Alonso, a home run derby champion for two times. He has 64 ribbies. And, well, not too much to say about him. He's a solid player, all-star, home run derby champion, and never really had a bad year.
Yeah, he was the Rookie of the Year, I believe, in his year.
Yep.
It's nice to see those guys continue to do well. I'm curious about, you know, since you're a Reds fan, do you also, like, get, like, in the way that I'm a Cubs fan and I get the White Sox, do you get a lot of Cleveland Guardians knowledge because you are a Reds fan?
Yeah, when we play them, the announcers are like, well, the Cleveland Guardians don't have to travel too much, you know, or... We're not even really a bit not as much as you'd think. So I would say I probably know more about Jose Ramirez than I do about, you know, like, I don't know, Manny Machado or Aaron Judge, just because, you know, they're really close to Cincinnati.
Right.
But not quite as much as you'd think, probably. But overall, yes. Stolen bases, I guess we might as well do this. John Birdie for the Marlins. Never, I've heard of him, but kind of came out of nowhere. And Julio Rodriguez, those guys I guess are very fast. ERA for pitching, Joe Musgrove, who's pitched no hitter last year with a 1.59 ERA for the San Diego Padres. What are your thoughts on Joe Musgrove?
Yeah, Musgrove, I think he's like the poster child for pitchers can develop into, you know, they can keep getting better past their first year or two in the majors. And I think too often teams are giving up on these young kids, these pitchers. And Musgrove's proven, it sometimes just takes him a while to figure out. And he's going to get a lot of money next year from someone, because I'm pretty sure his contract's up with the Padres after this year.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's going to, yeah. Now wins. There's a 7-way tie. I just want to talk about, you can do whatever you want, but I want to talk about the players who I think are the most, like, I don't know, the better ones. I think the better one out of those are Justin Verlander and Alex Manoah, because those are two very solid players. Obviously, Alex Manoah was Rookie of the Year candidate last year, and Justin Verlander came back from 2 years of worth of Tommy John surgery. So those two players have really came back and done a phenomenal job. They have 8 wins, and they played really well. But you got Tyler Anderson, Carlos Carrasco, Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taylor, and a lot of those players also have 8 wins. So tell me who stands out to you.
Let me ask you this first. What do you, maybe you talked about on another episode, but what do you think about the stat of a win? You know, because it doesn't, the wins leader doesn't always equate to the best pitcher in baseball. Do you feel like, how valuable a stat do you feel like wins is?
That's a great question. I literally, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I have not shared that on a podcast. I think wins are probably the dumbest stat ever created. You know, you got all these strange stats I've never even heard of for fielding, and you got wins for pitching that's popular. I hate wins. I mean, Hunter Green pitched no-hitter and got the loss, you know?
Yeah.
You got Tyler Anderson, who gave up like 6 runs the other day and got the win. So, personally, I hate wins and I hate losses, but, you know, if you're looking at a baseball card or something like that, you see, wow, this guy has 23 wins, he must be good. He probably is good, but I think the best stat to, like, decide if he's a good pitcher is ERA. But what do you think about wins?
Yeah, I think you're right where you say that if you look at the end of the year, the wins leader was probably a good pitcher, you know? But I think it really, some pitchers who might pitch on, like the Reds or the Cubs this year, the Pirates, might have great ERAs. They're not going to get wins because their team isn't scoring runs. And the worst of all is the reliever win stats, where a reliever comes in down 4-2, lets up 2 runs, leaves the game, and then gets the win because their team scores in the bottom half of the inning.
That, yeah, oh my gosh. So I need to stop talking about the Reds. But Tyler Mahle threw 9 innings, no runs. And the pitcher who ended up pitching horrible, it was 0-0 in the 9th inning. And he pitched in 11th inning. He gave up 3 runs and still ended up getting the win. So, yeah, you hit the spot. That was, like, yeah, I hate that too. But when we get into strikeouts, I believe that's probably a pretty good statistic, at least ball movement-wise. Shane McClanahan, I think that's how you say his last name, is first place for strikeouts. 105 already. I mean, wow, that's amazing. And Shane McClanahan last year was kind of a nobody pitcher. I believe this is only second, maybe third year of MLB, and he has been phenomenal. 8 wins. His ERA is like 1.69. And he has 105 strikeouts and not a very widely known name, but I guess tell us what you know about him.
Yeah, he's just one in the long line of Tampa Bay prospects that hits. It's just, to me, it's just so unbelievable that the Tampa Bay Rays in general, their continued success is one of the most amazing things in baseball to me, that they have to sell off everybody every year. You know, Blake Snell was their big like Cy Young candidate, and then they had to sell him off, and they just have another one, you know, waiting to go in the system. So McClanahan, I think, is just another one of these guys that's a huge credit to their scouting and what they do in Tampa Bay.
For sure. Now we'll just skip the error statistic. Let's get right into standing leaders. So National League and American Leaguers will go, you know, NL Central, NL East, NL West. We could talk about the whole league if you want to, but mostly we'll talk about the leaders in there. First, I guess we'll talk about the NL Central. First place, we got a two-way tie between St. Louis Cardinals and Milwaukee Brewers. I did a podcast like a couple months and months ago about, I think the Cardinals are going to win it all just because, or not win the World Series, but I think they're going to be in first place just because you got Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, Paul Goldschmidt, Yadier Molina, Albert Pujols, who's been together for, I mean, all of them besides Pujols has been together. Well, Pujols has been with them for a long time, but he got traded and went back to them. But all those players have been together for an abundant amount of time. They've been with each other for a long time. And unlike a lot of these teams, the Cardinals have a lot of veteran players who are solid. You know, Harrison Bader, like I said, Paul Goldschmidt's having a great year, Bader's having a good year, O'Neill's having a good year, Arenado's having a good year, and I think if veterans can play well, your team will be unstoppable. And then the Brewers, they've won 3 in a row lately, but they lost like 12 in a row or something. But I guess tell us what you, I talked too much, but tell us what you think about those leaders.
Yeah, the Cardinals, you know, as much as I hate them, I have to respect so many of their players. I feel like Yadi Molina should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no matter what his stats say. It's just invaluable to the team. And with, you know, Goldschmidt and Arenado, it's just, they're a dangerous team. The Brewers are probably the team that I know the next most about the majors because I went to college in Milwaukee, and there's a lot of my friends are Brewers fans. And they right now, they're dealing with a couple pitching injuries because Brandon Woodruff is injured, and so is Freddie Peralta, and those are two very high-level pitchers. So I think they're always a dangerous team if they get their pitching back, but I've been alive long enough to know that I do not bet against the Cardinals, and they always seem to find a way to win, even when they shouldn't. So I feel like the Cardinals might do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they do. They even have good pitching, you know, almost pitched the no-hitter. The NL East, not by a lot, but definitely taking the lead is the New York Mets, and I think all of us saw this coming. They're 45-23. So what I think is most impressive by all these teams, they got the second-best record in baseball, and they have Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, but both of them are hurt. So Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom, when they come back, they will be unstoppable, I think. Because Scherzer, you know, obviously a phenomenal pitcher. Jacob DeGrom, probably the best pitcher in MLB if he can stay healthy. And then the hitting's there too. Marte's been amazing. Cano's been very good, you know. And Alonso, he has the most RBIs in baseball. So a lot of people think the Mets can be in the World Series. I think that's a little too far to say now. But what do you think about the Mets, and do you think they could be a dangerous team?
Oh, they're for sure dangerous with those, you know, when that pitching comes back. The Mets just are one of those teams that seems to find a way to mess things up, you know, most years. So I hope that's for them that's not the case, because I'd like to see that pitching staff in the playoffs. The Braves, we just played the Braves. The Cubs just played them, so I just watched the team a bit. And they're good, 1-9, and they have good young pitching. And I think they're going to be there the whole way pushing the Mets, and, you know, that'll probably be good for them too. But if I had to put the money down, I'd put it on New York right now.
New York, yeah, it's, and even the Phillies, they have a chance too. I think the Marlins, talent-wise, they can be there, but they're not playing to how good their roster is. The National League West, not surprisingly. Wait. The Dodgers are first place, but the Padres have more wins. But it's a very confusing NL West, because the Giants, 3 games out, the Padres, a half a game out, and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks aren't too far out either. I mean, the Rockies kind of are, but when Chris Bryant comes back, they'll be better. But it's, you can even say, I know the Giants are 3 games out of first place, but it's like a 3-way tie, because every single year, all the time, they're always so close and jumped up together. I mean, the Dodgers had 105 wins last year and made the wild card because the Giants and all those teams are so tight. But right now, the Dodgers are ahead. A lot of people, I think they're going to win the World Series even. But what do you think about those teams?
Yeah, I just don't, you know, when you look at the rosters, I just don't know how you bet against the Dodgers at all, because they just have so much more talent, you know, than everybody else. It's just almost like murderer's row, that lineup, and the pitching staff's so very solid. And I would probably suspect them to be in the championship series and in the National League at the very least. Padres, I don't know. Their lineup's great, and is Tatis coming back this year?
This year, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know when.
But he's like another huge star, you know, that could maybe, you know, boost them ahead. And the Giants are sort of like the Cardinals in that they just always are finding a way to win and be there at the end of the year. So I think that's a really, really tough division to call.
Mm-hmm. For sure. The American League East, kind of surprisingly, the Yankees are first, 49 wins, 17 losses, and a plus 143 run differential. Nothing to say bad about them. Nes Cortez having a good year. Giancarlo Stanton's a power hitter. Aaron Judge's a power hitter. Josh Donaldson's having a pretty good year. You know, all those players are above achieving, whatever that word is. They're playing better than they were supposed to. But the Yankees have a real shot at making it far to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I'm still, you know, over the course of my life, I've rooted against the Yankees, because yeah, most of the first half of it, they were sort of that evil empire,
yeah,
outspending everybody. You know, now everybody spends. So the thing I like about them is that they have Anthony Rizzo, who was real important to our team for a long time, and I'd like to see him do well. But when it comes down to it, and it's, you know, Yankees against whoever in the playoffs, I'm gonna be rooting against them. But they're gonna run away with this division. It's gonna be over. You know, they're gonna be able to rest whoever they want throughout September.
Mm-hmm, for sure. American League Central, Minnesota Twins, which everyone, I think probably 90% of people, our guests, put the White Sox in first place, and they're behind 500. The Minnesota Twins, yes, they have Carlos Correa, but other than that, they don't have too much talent. They picked up Sonny Gray, but really not that good. The Twins have 38 wins, 30 losses, are in first place, and have been playing very, very well.
I root for the Twins quite a bit. Twins and Guardians in this situation. The White Sox have so much more talent than any of the teams in this division.
Mm-hmm.
Their team is such an exciting young players like Luis Robert and Tim Anderson, and like a lot of fun guys to watch. But being a Cub, you can't, you know, if you, anyone who's lived in Chicago knows, if you are a fan of one of the other teams, you got to hate the other. So I really personally dislike the White Sox. So I'm getting a lot of joy out of their failures, but they're being, what's being blamed for their underachievement this year has been Tony La Russa. Most people thinking that, I saw something the other day where, and it might have been on Twitter or something, where they said, you know, giving Tony La Russa control of the White Sox is like, you know, giving George Washington control of like a 737 or so, you know, like someone who is just so behind the times of today's baseball. And there's a lot of people around here in the city who think La Russa is the reason the White Sox are not playing well.
How can a manager be bad, though? I mean, he can pull out pitchers early and he can not play players that are really good. But, I mean, with their lineup, you can't really not put someone in. Like, what is he doing that's upsetting the fans so much?
Yeah, they think he mishandled, you know, there's always got to be a scapegoat, right?
Yeah.
So they think he mishandles the bullpen, and they point out little stuff. So I don't know if you had heard about what he had done recently where he intentionally walked Trey Turner on a 1-2 count. So Turner was up, and there was a man on first, and they stole a base. Someone stole a base, so now it's 1-2 with the man on second. And La Russa doesn't want to, now sees that there's an open base, so he intentionally walks Turner. But there was two strikes already. And so the next guy, I think Max Muncy was up next and hit a 3-run homer. So it made him look bad. But just the thought of, okay, this guy's, the chance of you getting somebody out with two strikes already, you're up 1-2. He's like overthinking things, he's doing too much, and he has just taken a lot of the wrath of the Chicago White Sox fans because they have to give it to somebody.
Yeah, and I mean, touching a walk's not a dumb decision. If you know, if it's 1-2, that's not very smart. Lastly, American League West, the Houston Oilers, I like to call them the Houston Astros. They're 41-23 with a +53 ERA. They lost Carlos Correa. They lost a couple of relievers, but Christian Javier, you know, Framber Valdez, Henry Pena, really playing well, and that's probably why they're in first place.
Yeah, the Astros, unfortunately, they're another one of those teams that's tough to like after, you know, garbage can gate or whatever.
Yeah.
If you want to call it, even though I don't know how many, you know, there's still a number of players there who are responsible, but they've recycled a lot of the, you know, people who were involved in that. But yeah, they're like almost looking like the Rays, where every guy they bring up seems to contribute. And I don't unfortunately see the Angels catching them. I really would have liked to see the Angels have a stronger year and at least challenge them.
And the Mariners, what happened to them? I mean, they got a solid line of Winker, Rodriguez, you know, Ty France, and they're 29-39, you know, and it's been, what, 20-some-odd years that they haven't made the playoffs, so we'll see what we see from them.
Yeah, I still think back, like, my Mariners memory for my life is still Ken Griffey Jr. sliding home, you know, to send them to the wild card game, and so that's how long it's been since they've been decent.
That's crazy. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we go, pretty much? I guess you could talk about your podcast.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Me and two of my buddies do a podcast called You Tried That, and we eat three different snacks every week. And that's sort of like the general idea of what we do, but a lot of it is just us goofing around. We like do these different segments that are fun games, and it's pretty much not safe for work. So if that's not your cup of tea, then you might want to avoid it. But it's just us having a good time, trying out different snacks from different countries, and that's it. But when I got the chance to talk to you about coming to talk baseball, I was really excited because you know, I don't get a chance to do it that much. So I want to thank you a lot for inviting me on, because I had a really good time.
Well, I thank you, because I don't get much people that come on. And just FYI, your podcast rating, I saw your ratings, and you got some really good ratings on your podcast. So even if you guys aren't interested in that, I think you guys could take a really good look, because, I mean, I think you have like what's 100 ratings and all 5 stars. Anyway, go ahead.
We are proud of the we've been in business a long, long time, for years and years, and I've known the other co-host for over 20 years. So we have a good rapport, and it's a fun show. So if anyone's listening to this and you get a shot, then check it out.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. People, check that out, people. And I really, really, really appreciate it, Mr. Nick, for coming on. And hopefully I can even have you come on some other time.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
And, well, thank you for listening to MLB from CDA Baseball. Take some other listens and see you next time.